Urban Media Today Talk Sports third quarter. Kicking off the third quarter talking NFL. I have a feeling this is about to become a football show again.
No surprise.
We're talking Tampa Bay with Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Jameis Winston. Do you stay with the hot hand, or do you, since Jameis was reactivated earlier this week, do you go with Jameis now since he's the starter and supposed to be the face of the franchise? So Ray was quoting stats with Ryan Fitzpatrick as we were going out, and Ray was actually honoring me. He did bow and say, yes, Trevin, you are right.
You know what? I even hit a gong, too, man. I mean, y'all missed it, man.
But no, seriously, we're all getting into it. It's a heated conversation. It's a pretty good one. Vince has some good points. Aubrey has some good points. And then Ray has some good points as well. All right, so we can move on to another player and another topic here. Bottom line, Ray, do you go with Fitz or Jameis?
I go with Fitzpatrick.
Vince, do you go with Fitz or Jameis?
I go for this next game. I go with Fitz.
Okay. Aubrey, Fitz or Jameis for the next game? Tomorrow, for tomorrow's game.
I can't be lukewarm. I got to go with Winston.
Okay, with Jameis. I go with Ryan Fitzpatrick until I can't use him again.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Jameis, you know, you need to learn the lesson. You are the face of the franchise. I get that. Yeah, so you are going to get back, but you have to learn from what you're doing. And I think as long as Ryan Fitzpatrick has the hot hand, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers bring in Jameis Winston, this is going to be more fuel for the fire for the media to talk bad about Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Coach Dirk Cutter. That's just my opinion. But I wanted to ask you guys about this. What about Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs?
Unbelievable.
Covered a lot of football for years, but I've never quite seen a quarterback kind of have his skill set.
Incredible, man.
Coming out of the gate. It's totally incredible, man.
And you know what I think, man? It's like he was sitting behind Alex Smith last year. I mean, it's like,
he was
wow.
sitting behind a journeyman.
Yeah, he was sitting behind a journeyman who got paid the monies in Washington. Yeah. But what in the world? Incredible. I'm impressed.
And if people don't know, Patrick Mahomes, like you said, he was a rookie last year, sat behind Smith with the Kansas City Chiefs. And everybody was kind of wondering how comes Kansas City just let Alex Smith go like that. Well, now you know, because Patrick Mahomes, 13 touchdowns without an interception in three
Sick.
Games.
Right.
Incredible. You didn't hear me, right? 13 touchdowns without an interception.
Without an interception.
In three games.
But you know, the biggest thing, Trevin, is that he still got that salary cap. He's only a second-year player.
Right. And
so he can't make that big loot. So
on his
that's
rookie
the biggest
deal.
Bargain in the NFL right
it
now.
It really is, yeah.
It is. He's averaging 298 yards a game.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
had six in one game. Incredible, man.
Yeah, six touchdowns in one game. And he tore up the Steelers. He torched the Steelers.
You just,
your team.
I know you had to be happy.
To
You're glad to
in
say
in
that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I had to throw that in
there. That's okay, though. But I mean, I'm not going I can't disagree.
So, and the reason I bring that up is he's what? If you go through the top 10 quarterbacks at this point in the season, he's actually number 9. And he's in good company because he's ahead of Matt Stafford, who I'm not convinced is all that good in Detroit. But Matt Ryan is ahead of me. Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Fitzpatrick. That can all change before this season is all over.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I believe it, man. I really do. And what an incredible – I mean, he's proven himself, what he's done on the field. He's proven himself as a leader. I mean, it's possible that they can probably cancel their title.
Yeah.
Of being the Toronto Raptors of the NFL. But it's still a long season, though. But what a start. What
you
an impressive start.
Toronto Raptors of the NFL.
And vice versa. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm impressed by, as I watched him read, come up to the line, his check downs
right.
and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the running around, forget his arm. Right. This guy is very, very smart.
He really
and
is
he's
smart.
He's way beyond just a second year quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we knew he had a strong arm.
Right.
There's no question about that. I still had questions about how good was he going to be, coming in and not really having extensive playing time his rookie year. So I had reservations about how well he was going to do. But he's kind of shut me up, I know there is a wall that players will hit. But I'm curious to see how does he progress? You know, does he, you know, if he throws an interception and is he, how, what is his mental makeup?
Mm-hmm.
Does he come back from that, you know, come right back and forget about it? And, but I, like you say, I watched him, make reads at the line.
Yeah.
And his leadership and his knowledge of
true.
The game and the playbook, was on full display.
Incredible.
When I watched him play. So, and he, you know, I thought that, he has a lot of talent around him.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, they would just kind of dink and dunk and let his playmakers make plays. But he's taking chances down the field. Like,
yeah,
he's not scared out there.
That's right.
He is not scared. And so those are things that have impressed me watching him play so far.
That's for sure. Now, you know, the thing I like also about him and that separates him from Alex Smith is just the fact that you can tell he's not just a system. He's not a system quarterback. Yeah. He's utilizing his talent. I mean, mm-hmm. you have Tyreek Hill, and you have Lamar Hunt, and you have Travis Kelce. You got some stuff, man. And he's utilizing every one of them. And it's incredible. I mean, and then the defense is doing exceptionally well too. And I believe they made some news too, if it's true or not. So,
but I wonder if they like I watched Alex Smith. You know, when he was at Utah, mm-hmm. he was a phenomenal athlete then. I thought, and I still kind of feel like, you know, I don't know if he's just a manager. I don't know if it's him or this system that he's been playing mm-hmm. in that they won't let him. Or he won't let himself take chances down the field.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see him, like I say, take more risk, take more throws down the field, mm-hmm. and see what happens. I mean, we know he's an efficient quarterback.
He is. He's efficient. That's for sure.
I think he's a capable quarterback. He's only played for a few different teams.
Right. Started with the 49ers.
Right.
Right.
And then he went to Kansas City mm-hmm. from there.
Right. And now he's in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something. And he paved the way, of course, you know, him being in that system with Harbaugh. He gets hurt, Colin Kaepernick comes exactly. in. So there's another example.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And the thing about that, Ray, is that even with when he was in San Francisco, I think that's what attracted Andy Reid to him because of the fact that he was like a game manager. Mm. And Reid's system is so, even when he was with Philadelphia.
Right.
He had certain things that were structured. He's mm-hmm. a very structured guy, mm-hmm. you know. And so Reed said, "This guy, I can bring this guy. He'll fit right into my system mm-hmm. and my game plan, and go from there." He depended on Alex Smith not being a risk taker,
right.
and I think that attracted Andy Reid to him.
But what attracted? I know I kind of know what the answer is, but right. what attracted him to Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I think youth, but more importantly. You can be spontaneous without being a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's for sure.
I think Mahomes, you can look at him and tell that it looks like he's taking a risk,
right.
but his peripheral vision, you might say, he's scrambling all of a sudden, he threw to the running back over
right.
there.
Right.
But his peripheral vision, I said, this is going to be my check down.
Right.
So I think he's more of a thinking improviser mm-hmm. than a guy who's just off the cuff right. improviser.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. the thing that's interesting to me is the fact that Patrick Mahomes only has one career interception. Even though he only played in one game last year, he started
right.
one game, but
right.
and that was the game he threw the interception in. But so far in four games in an NFL career, two seasons, he only has one interception.
Incredible.
And so far, he doesn't have any this year. My next question is this, though. When you look at the Chiefs, the Dolphins, and the LA Rams, they're the only three undefeated teams in the league right now. Now, the Chiefs don't play until Monday night. They play the Denver Broncos, who are mm-hmm. 2-1. You got the LA Rams, who play the Minnesota Vikings, who actually had a tie. And I see ties this year is crazy because you have Minnesota and Green Bay, who mm-hmm. tied each other, and then you have Pittsburgh and Cleveland, who
right.
tied each other. Now, all four of those teams are 1-1-1,
mm-hmm.
which I think is interesting in itself. But my question to you, gentlemen, is this. The Rams, the Dolphins, and the Chiefs, who goes undefeated the longest? Now, this week, the Dolphins, Thursday, the Rams played the Minnesota Vikings, okay? Then Sunday, the Dolphins played New England. And then Monday, the Chiefs play the Denver Broncos. Let me put it to you this way. Who finishes with a better record? The season. That's what we'll do.
This
that.
Season?
Who finishes the season with the better record? Now, all three of those teams started off the season undefeated mm-hmm. in the first three games, 3-0. Who finishes with the better record?
If they stay healthy, Kansas City.
Yes.
You know, I believe that.
Sorry, Miami, smoke and mirrors, man. I mean, it's impressive, though, that 3-0 start. But if they end up being the only undefeated team after, like, several weeks, hey. I will consider dressing up like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You got to wait that long?
Yes.
Well, see, the Dolphins play New England on Sunday.
Oh, my. Well,
that's over.
Well, and then, but look at how, I mean, let's be honest, look at how Detroit put it on them.
The
I was like, woo! Yeah, so.
Did you see Brady on the sideline? Do your job.
Well, hey, is it not what you're to talk about, though, in so reference
you,
to Brady?
You said that, but you know what? I think, I picked the Dolphins to beat New England. I think New England's got some... some issues that they need issues. To they need to figure out before we anoint them. Exactly. You know who they've been in the past.
You're right. You're right.
Now Ray just said something interesting, and I'm not gonna pat myself on the back, but I said to you gentlemen,
yeah, you did,
that in the past Super Bowls when New England was not performing well, I saw Tom Brady on the sideline either with his head down or feeling dejected. And that's I swear to you all and everybody that's listening to me right now, in that Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks, if you look at that tape and you look at Tom Brady, he already thought he lost that
game. Right. And in fact, praise God, I was there. So, and the thing was, matter of fact, for me, I Bill Roden from New York Times, I got up. We always get together after the game for the party. I made my way downstairs. I wasn't even up there when Russell Wilson made the ill-fated interception. I didn't. I could tell a fib and say, "Oh yeah, I saw it." Actually, I saw it on the monitor when I was coming downstairs.
Yeah, something.
And I say that because Ray said, and Aubrey just said as well, if you watch Tom Brady in that game against Detroit, if you watch him on the sideline, it's like, yo, it's like he almost gives up.
Yeah,
and people are calling him the GOAT. I can't call you the GOAT if I see you giving up on the team.
He's arrogant as long as he's winning.
I can't call you the GOAT. Sorry, Vince is over there shrugging. Go ahead, man.
No, I mean, I want guys that are fiery. Mm-hmm. I want guys that hate to lose. I want to see that it bothers you when we're not winning and guys aren't pulling their weight. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because somebody has to say it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, it's set up for superstars have to be the ones that pull their guys up when they're, and there's different ways of doing it. You know, when guys aren't performing, you know, you can throw your arm around them and encourage them. Sometimes they got to be yelled at. So I think that's a characteristic of, you know, the greatest players.
Well, Brady never yells at himself. I look at him when he's playing ball. Do you remember when Spygate happened? Mm. And after that, and they were sanctioned and all that stuff, right? And when after that, you know what? It was a situation he said directly, "I want to kill the opposition." Mm. When they, remember, they were beating teams about 40 points and all that. They have no pity on anybody, right. And that's okay. But when you become demonically possessed with hurting the other team and demoralizing the other team, don't sit over there with your head down. Because you know what? You're just experiencing what you try to put on the other team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but then how does he deal with that? I mean, look, we're all human.
Right. He's not human. I'm just kidding.
Oh, he's a cyborg. I thought so.
Exactly.
But – you know, we have to learn. We all have to go through adversity,
right? Exactly.
And so, no matter what, we can all. I'm sure there's been times that the most level-headed guy has had situations where he's lost his cool.
That's right.
Does it define him?
No,
not necessarily.
But you can see Brady yelling stuff at the other team, blah 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 blah, trying to demoralize them, and that bothers me. Look. Mm. Like you said, Vince, everybody wins and loses. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody goes through adversity. Mm-hmm. Now, if he was like sort of a equally balanced, as the French say, equipoise, mm-hmm. equally balanced human being, people would say, "Oh, Tom, man, we feel sorry for Tom because he lost his." But he's so accustomed to winning, however, whether it's cheating or whatever. So once you get that mantra of winning by any means necessary, then you think you're invulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I think that the people, the fans, and the media, sometimes they say you hate Tom Brady. No, but his attitude, his demeanor is very, very negative when it comes to even giving respect to the other team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how about this for news? And, I mean, the news hit on Thursday, but I'm surprised a lot of people aren't talking about it. How about Eric Reed getting signed by the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, but I'm not surprised because he got signed on a bye week. They're not even playing this week, so it's like you bring him in, get him acclimated to the system.
But he did though.
The thing that doesn't surprise me about it is the owner for the Panthers,
Tepper.
David Tepper, has come out and said, you know, he doesn't he doesn't have a problem with his players protesting.
Right.
You know, so you have an owner who has come out. Mm-hmm. And publicly stated,
absolutely,
you know, this is I'm okay with this, and I don't know whether he's gone so far as to say he encourages it, right. But you know, so it, yeah, it doesn't, in that respect, it doesn't surprise me that he was the owner and he was the team that signed Eric Reed.
Well, somebody did it, though. Time last year, we were wondering why nobody didn't sign him or Kaepernick.
The truth is, though, the guy can play.
So can Kaepernick.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back. It's the end of the third quarter. Going into the fourth quarter, it's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Again, see, Ray and Vince, they know how to do it. They end on a hot topic, so I had to cut them off before we get into it because I know they're going to talk for 20 minutes. But anyway, Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll be right back after this.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports is the final quarter. Yep, we're here already. And we ended up on the third quarter on a high note because Vincent and Ray were talking about something in Eric Reed and being signed by the Carolina Panthers. I think it's a good thing. I think Colin Kaepernick should be next, but that may not happen. But that's a good point that you guys are making, that you have an owner that finally came out and signed someone and said that they're not worried about whether or not they're going to protest. And I think that that's – I don't even want to talk about the protest anymore because it's not even what it was meant to protest to begin with. Like, we're not even talking about the reason that Colin Kaepernick took the knee to begin with.
Right.
And it seems like that was just swept under the rug. But Colin Kaepernick is blowing up. I think
he's
going to be history.
He is.
And the more that you follow what he's doing off the field, if you're paying attention, he's almost like dare I say it, but when you're looking at what Muhammad Ali had to do, what he went through, when you're looking at what LeBron James is doing in the NBA by building schools for children and just community-wise, you're making you more aware of what's happening. But not only that, but these gentlemen that I mentioned, they're putting their money where their mouth is, and Colin Kaepernick is one of those people that put his money where his mouth is as well. I mean, so kudos to him for doing that. And I don't want to get off on the Colin Kaepernick tangent because that could be a whole topic.
A whole segment.
But we all wish him the best, and we're hoping that at some time he gets to play football again, if he ever does. But if not, I think he's already made his statement, and his legacy is stamped in museums and in history. Go ahead. Right.
But I have to say this, though. Nike was his savior in the sense that now that he's not going to be dependent economically on any team assigned him. So now that I give Nike a bunch of credit, because now Colin Kaepernick is not going to be on the corner shaking a tin cup panhandling. They're making him solid financially so he can continue on with his social work, his community activism, and his social activism, because we need that sort of thing. Like you said, Trevin, Muhammad Ali didn't sell out. Jackie Robinson didn't sell out. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't sell out.
Bill Russell didn't sell out. Jim Brown didn't sell out.
Sure didn't. So, but we need Kaepernick. Of all those I just mentioned, him and Muhammad Ali are most dear to my heart because they tried to ruin them financially. They wouldn't let Ali fight or do anything. And Kaepernick, they won't let him play. So, I mean, kudos to the advertising world, but also to the world for letting Colin Kaepernick at least become stable financially.
And do you think that will open up the door for him professionally? So I have this endorsement money in my bank account. So I don't have to look for, you know, that high salary that I used to need. I was commanding, and that's the reason I think he left San Francisco.
Right.
Was because they weren't committed to him long term.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ray always said, you know, he's looking for the monies.
I would think he will never ever play in the NFL again, mm-hmm. right? The reason being, if he was smart, because mm-hmm. these marketing people in sports and merchandising, mm-hmm. now they have a brand they can deal with. Mm-hmm. So stick with what's working for you. Go get money, you know, and go to these schools and go to these colleges and go to these Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers and Jimmy Kimmel, and push what you're doing from a social and community perspective, because mm-hmm. you can be a lot more lucrative socially as well as economically.
And I understand that, but, you know, him being a relatively young man, you know, with a playing career still able to be in front of him, you know, you want to see him, at least I do, I want to see him maximize his playing potential, because I also think that, I mean, that's the social stuff, I think, is right. absolutely vital, but players make a name for themselves by being warriors on the field.
I don't want to see him use up a lot of his resources fighting the NFL legally just to play, because mm-hmm. that's what they want to do. Whatever money he has, they want to push up against the wall. They have unlimited resources. Right. He doesn't. So I think he should step back and say, you know what? They don't want me. Fine. I have another route to go. Because even though they appealed his ruling in terms of the arbitrator, mm-hmm. I still think they're going to come up with some legal ploy that's going to be covert mm-hmm. that's going to stop him from playing.
Mm-hmm. But then wouldn't that set him up with this collusion case? Wouldn't that set him up to get a nice windfall?
Donald Trump invited people in the White House and wouldn't let people come in, photographers or people, you know, media, but he did his own thing. Mm-hmm. So don't forget, we're dealing with a very, very corrupt mm-hmm. society. Mm-hmm. And so it would set him up for collusion on the surface. Mm-hmm. But when you get to as you appeal the higher courts, your chances of winning become slimmer and slimmer. Right. And with this totally conservative Supreme Court, if it gets to the Supreme Court, they're going to rule, of course, in the conservatives' favor.
All right, interesting topic. Like I said, I don't want to talk about Colin Kaepernick. but no, and kudos to Colin Kaepernick, because I like what he's done. But I want to talk about, and I want to brag a little bit here. I told you guys about a linebacker out of South Carolina State by the name of Darius Leonard. Did I not?
You did. Mm-hmm.
Is Darius Leonard not a beast in the league right now?
He is a beast.
I mean, as a rookie.
Wow.
I mean, and last week, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had 3 sacks or yes. 2 sacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think he had 15 tackles.
Yeah.
The week prior to that, he had 19 tackles. 15 of those were solo tackles mm-hmm. for the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Darius Leonard is a beast. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Darius Leonard, and when you're talking about linebackers, with him making such an impact for the Indianapolis Colts so early in the season, is there any linebacker that he reminds you guys of if you've seen him play? If you haven't seen him play, just the stats alone.
I'd have to say Lawrence Taylor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
From the sack standpoint. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to say two guys he reminded me of. Harry Carson was one, and Greg Lloyd was the other one.
And it's interesting that you said Harry Carson, well, and Greg Lloyd, because right. Harry Carson went to South Carolina State mm-hmm. and HBCU. Mm-hmm. Greg Lloyd went to Fort Valley State, right. another HBCU. Yeah. And Harry Carson is an alum of where Darius Leonard went to school. Well,
I just looked at him, and he reminds me of Harry Carson and Greg Lloyd.
But just the fact that he also is leading in tackles right now, there's a little bit of Ray Lewis up in him, too, though.
Ray Lewis? I don't see a Ray. He might be. I think he's bigger. I think he's a little bigger than Ray Lewis as far as height is concerned. Maybe not weight-wise. But I just see he's so quick. And even when I watched him play at South Carolina State last year, he looked to me like a man playing amongst boys. Mm-hmm. And so did his teammate, Hargrave, who mm-hmm. plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive tackle. And he was those two played on the same team at South Carolina State 2 years ago mm-hmm. Or 3 years ago. So it's interesting to see that. But I'm going to tell you, Coach Buddy Pough said that while Darius Leonard was at South Carolina State a year ago, I think it was last year during a teleconference, he said that Leonard is that much of an athlete that he could have played tight end. But he had him at the linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Darius Leonard, I think he ran a 4.7 in the 40. But Coach Pugh said this year in the teleconference that Darius Leonard really could run a 4-5 mm-hmm. or 4-4.
Wow.
That's a linebacker?
4-4. Yeah, that's incredible.
Are you serious,
man,
right now?
That's a
– I mean, that's that's a locomotive ready to just run into somebody, right, and you're really going to feel the impact of that hit if you ever should meet up with Darius Leonard. So I said that because I'm looking on the other side of the ball. We talked about quarterbacks, and we talked about we didn't talk about Adrian Peterson, but I want to talk about him. Mm-hmm. But I definitely wanted to talk about Darius Leonard because when you look at the NFL stats, check out the last three games. I mean, and he started for the Indianapolis Colts. So for him to have double figures in tackles, and then for him to make such an impact in sacks so far this season, and to be one of the leaders in sacks, he's a rookie.
Mm-hmm. When Dad Nunn was scouting Greg Nunn, there's a term in scouting they call lateral shiftiness. Mm-hmm. And that basically means you can shift laterally. It's weird that you don't lose speed.
Right.
You know, and so you have some guys who run a 4.8, mm-hmm. you know, but then they're quicker than guys who run a 4.2 because right. of that lateral shiftiness. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, with Darius, I looked at him, I was like, wow, this guy reminds me of Greg Lloyd. Reminds me of Harry, the strength of Harry Carson and the lateral shiftiness of Greg Lloyd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and again, like I said, in the first game of the season, he had 9 tackles. 6 of those were solo. Then he had 19 tackles in the game against the Washington Redskins, which they won. 15 of those were solo. And then he just had 13 tackles in the game against Philly.
Just 13.
And 9 of those are solo. But then he has 3 sacks. So, and then he had a pass defended against, and I think he had a forced fumble, and he also had a fumble recovery.
Mm.
So, I mean, he's just all over the field. And for those of you who don't know, Google it. No, I'm going to tell you right now. He's number 53, linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. He's out of South Carolina State. When we Aubrey next week on his show is going to talk about HBCUs, and you just brought mm-hmm. up Dad Nunn, as you call him, Bill
exactly.
Nunn Sr. So next week, I think in your show, you're actually going to talk about Bill Nunn.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun.
And he's being honored tomorrow night in the Steelers game, correct?
Against the Steelers and the Ravens.
And the Ravens. Right. So that's interesting. And see, we already got that set up. Look at you. You're already ahead of the game. I mean, I'm liking that. And we bring up Bill Nunn Sr. because he actually scouted HBCU players back in the early days of
Oxy's Bill Nunn Jr.
Is this junior? Yes, because his dad was senior. Yes,
Bubby
right.
was the third.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then Radio Raheem was the third.
Right, exactly.
Got it. And Radio Raheem was Bill Nunn the third, who you've seen in movies and in plays.
My classmate at Shinley.
Wow.
Really?
Okay.
That's something.
3 years.
Interesting. So I had to bring that up about Darius Leonard, who is, I guess, leading in tackles. He's leading the league in tackles.
Yes, right he now. Is.
41 tackles as a linebacker, as a rookie linebacker, which is impressive to me. He reminds me of Luke Kuechly with the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, okay.
Because it looks like his reads, it's just like he just knows where the ball is, man. Yeah. I mean, and that's just incredible to me. Now, somebody else I got to bring up, can't let Vince get away with this. Baker Mayfield taking over for the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. And not only Baker Mayfield, but Myles Garrett is having a good season, right. too.
He is.
And Myles Garrett is on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Vince, let's talk about your Browns, man. Tyrod Taylor, is he done?
I should let you guys talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, what a comeback. Yeah. Wow.
Tyrod Taylor, is he done? Probably so. Sometimes – you know, a guy goes down with an injury, and you know, you got a guy that's waiting to, you know, for his chance, mm-hmm. and he takes it and he doesn't let it go. So I don't see Baker Mayfield, despite what struggles he may have during his rookie season. I see him growing from those because he's such a competitor.
Yeah.
I think now that he has the job, I don't think he's going
to
let it go.
And I had to admit, man, when I watched that game, I think the coaches were praying for Tyrod not to get injured, but for something to happen so that they could take him out. Because I think Coach was just waiting for the opportunity to take him out. Right. And I think not a blessing for Tyrod. I think it was just something happening at the right time where he could bring in Baker Mayfield in that last game.
Right.
And Baker Mayfield had such a zip on the ball.
Right. He did.
And his decisions were just like, okay, I'm going there. I don't care if the defender's there or not. Right. I'm putting the ball right there, and my receiver's going to catch it. Where Tyrod, you can see him kind of second guessing, and then some of his passes were short. in that game. Mm-hmm. So I go with Baker right now. But this is the thing. Baker Mayfield has the perfect setup. Tomorrow night tomorrow evening, they play the Oakland Raiders, who have not won a game.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes that's not a perfect setup. A team – you know, hasn't won, that sometimes that makes them hungrier.
Sometimes it is a perfect setup.
It is. I mean,
failure. You know what I mean?
I mean,
the thing about Baker, I like a little bit. I'm not gonna put him in the same class, even though he's just a year behind. But Patrick Mahomes, when I watch Baker, I notice that he has a good hold of the offense. That he does. He's out there making reads. You know, he has you can tell his teammates want to play for him. They want to go out and make plays for him. They trust him. And you saw that. So hopefully that's not a one-time thing. Hopefully, you know, he's going to come out and they're still going to have his back. So they're going to go out there and make plays for him. The tough thing for him is that now he's had a week of practice. But now you have the Oakland Raiders who now have some game tape on you. Mm-hmm. So now they get a week to prepare for Baker Mayfield versus having to come in sub in. So the team, you know, all week is preparing to, you know, for Tyrod Taylor, and then you have Baker Mayfield coming in. So you kind of, I think you kind of play on your heels a little bit. Mm-hmm. But now Oakland has, like I said, a full week to prepare for what Baker Mayfield brings to the table. So you're going to see them. I think you're going to see them try to come at him different ways now. And I think they're going to bring some stuff up the middle, try to get him, you know, and they may bring some tandem stuff. You may have a guy coming on a stunt, you know, and he's coming on the outside, and he doesn't see him coming, but you got another guy rushing up the middle, try to flush him out, and you got another guy waiting for him. So I think they're going to throw some different things at him. So he's got to be ready.
They will try. I mean, I'm sorry, Oakland at this point couldn't scare the little giants, man. I mean, for real. And I said it from the start. John Gruden should have stayed in the ESPN broadcast booth. It's a bunch of hype.
How are you going to get rid of Khalil Mack?
Exactly. That
ego
just speaks for itself.
Far bigger than substance.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that.
Because I like that. Ego far bigger than substance. It's the truth, and it's just a bunch of hype. But we'll see. But it should be an interesting game, though. It really should be. Yeah. From one black hole to the other. How about that?
So you all can check that out tomorrow, 4:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where the Cleveland Browns pay a visit to the left coast, the west coast, taking on the Oakland Raiders. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. That's going to wrap up the fourth quarter. Game's almost over. But what we didn't talk about was HBCU sports today. That's okay, because today at noon, guess what? Yes, the HBCU Sports Report, the first one this weekend, as we're starting off a big sports weekend here on Urban Media Today Radio. That will be followed this evening by Soul Take Live with Kevin Cameron, kicking off the football season. He'll come on at 6 p.m. Then tomorrow it's Aubrey Bruce, 9:30, with Straight No Chaser. And follow that, the weekend will be wrapped up with Margo Hinton and Give It Up. Mm-hmm. Hot sports weekend, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's always a pleasure being with you guys. Another Saturday, that's a wrap. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Mr. Aubrey Bruce, appreciate
you. Sir.
Ray Porter Jr., always appreciate you, sir, even though you don't agree with me at the time.
but today, though, man. How about that?
Yeah.
Do you believe in miracles?
That's why it's going to snow outside today. and Big Butts, appreciate you always, man.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Make sure you tune in next weekend, because there's more where this came from.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of games being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio. For the very best in adult and urban music, listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook Twitter, or Instagram and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.